Hello, and welcome to Real Talk, where curiosity chases truth. Every Tuesday at noon on KVSH 101.9 FM and on voiceofvashon.org at your convenience. I'm your host, Susan McCabe. Today, we turn to our kids and those things they do that parents fear, like drinking, vaping, other kinds of substance. We'll find out how kids in Washington State, King County, and right here on Vashon Island are doing, by the numbers. And, dear parents, we'll offer some hope for solutions and prevention. To help us with all that, I'm happy to welcome Lisa Bruce, coordinator of VARSA, Vashon's Alliance to Reduce Substance Abuse Among Youth. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Susan. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And Susan McMahon, student and parent support specialist with VARSA. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you both for being here. I want to start with the statistics because it's a good place to start. What do we know about our kids and how much or how little they're using and or abusing substances these days?
That's a big question, Susan. And VARSA is very data-driven, so we do go by the data to form our foundation of what we do. And we rely on the Healthy Youth Survey, which is given to junior high and senior high kids, 6th through 12th grade, every grade, every 2 years. So, but the last data we have is 2018 because of the pandemic. and that we can compare that to other schools around Washington State that are similar to us, so that are rural, which is nice because it doesn't compare us to big inner city schools. So, with that said, when I look at the alcohol use, we use 10th and 12th grade and sometimes 8th grade 30-day use, which means how often or do kids use within a 30-day time period from when they took the survey. So it's a point-in-time survey, and the data is as accurate as we can rely on with kids answering as honestly as kids are, and assuming that they're predictable, if not fully honest. So year to year, we figure that the data is valid. So in 2006 or 2008, which is our earliest years of data, we had the alcohol use at 44% for 10th graders.
Saying, is that kids on Vashon alone?
That's kids on Vashon alone, saying that 44% of 10th graders at that point in time in 2008 said that they had used alcohol within the past 30 days.
And those are 15, 16-year-olds.
Yes, that's 10th grade. So mm-hmm. not yet driving, but maybe starting to drive, or yeah. some of the early drivers. The state's level at that time was 32%. So that's a statistically significant difference. The numbers as of 2018, the alcohol level has dropped to 23%, and the state level dropped to 20%. So overall, Vashon has trended downward. So less kids are using on a regular basis, and as far as the statewide as well. And what that shows is that there are many services. It's not just VARSA. On Vashon, there's multiple organizations, and the school has brought in a lot of support services. But statewide, within those 10 years, we've brought in other communities have coalitions like we do, 100 in the state. So
are we talking just alcohol? Does this include marijuana use or other drugs?
That stat is just alcohol. So the marijuana use in 2006, we had 38% of the 10th graders said that they used marijuana in the last 30 days. And the state number was 17.
So, wow.
Yeah. These numbers are why we are here, actually, because the state recognized that Vashon was one of the communities where there was high use.
They don't call us Weed Island for nothing.
Yeah. Please don't call us that anymore. but that seriously, we are in the first, it's called the first cohort. So we're the first group of communities to get the funding that we currently have. It's called Community Prevention and Wellness Initiative funding. And It's a funding stream, not a grant. So there's no end in sight. We just have to continually do what we say we're going to do and show some positive outcomes.
And that's state money, correct?
Oh, it's so convoluted. It's actually federal money from a substance abuse prevention and substance abuse block grant. And then it goes through to the states. So they give it to the states, and states can dole it out how they see fit. And I think a lot, I don't know this, this is my own opinion, but a lot of states use it for more treatment and other things than prevention, because Washington is way out front in the prevention realm.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah. And then looking at marijuana use for the 30 days.
Yeah.
Now it's from 38% in 2006, which was the red flag, Vashon needs help. Now it's at 16%.
Oh.
As far as 2018. So the 10th graders in 2018, 16% of them said that they used on a regular basis.
Yes, you were going to say more.
Oh, I was going to say that when we look at that number, we also look at it in a broader base of 6th through 12th graders, 9th through 12th graders. We don't base it on just 10th grade, knowing that, a 10th grade class is 125 kids.
Yeah.
And maybe 80 to 100 of them answered this question. Actually, 73% of high school students of 10th graders answered that question. So I know that that's not an accurate number, but when we take it on a larger scale, we still see that trend line going down.
How do you take it on a larger scale? Are you simply extrapolating?
No, we just look at the 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade numbers and average them together.
Ah, 6th grade, that's 12 years old?
So the 6th grade, 6th, 7th, 8th grade numbers are very low. They're 0%, maybe, 1%, 2%. Not having those numbers in front of me right now. But that's also offset by the other end of 12th graders, which are using at a higher rate. So
12th graders are using it. Yeah, they're getting ready to enter into the world of adulthood, so they have to behave like stupid adults.
They're practicing for college.
Yeah.
I could data circles around you with what use and college grades, the correlation there. So
Susan McMahon, you might have, since you are an educator in this area and you're talking to parents and kids about prevention and possibly about use, I'm just making an assumption here. What sort of sense do you have? What sort of intuitive sense do you have of whether or not there's been a change one way or the other among at least Vashon kids in 2019, 2020, and 2021? Of course, don't know much about 2021, but let's say 2019 and 2020.
Without having the Healthy Youth Survey data from 2020,
right.
It is hard to come up with a hard number on anything. But what we are hearing in the, prevention community is that what data has been gathered in different communities, the kids who were using before the pandemic, they are still using at that same rate or increasing their use. Those who were not using, for the most part, we are hearing that they're not reaching out and starting at this point. So it'll be really interesting to find out when we can get data where the pandemic has led us.
Yeah, it sounds almost as though whatever your habit of coping might be, whether it's using substances or running outside or bicycling or talking to your parents, that's where people are turning. They're turning to their coping tactic du jour or habitual coping tactic.
Absolutely. And if there weren't healthy coping mechanisms set up before the pandemic, turning to what is comfortable is going to happen. And that's where mental health is one of our biggest, you know, working on mental health is one of our biggest prevention strategies right now. And we're seeing that not just in Washington State and not just only thinking about it here, you know, at VARSA, but that is, you know, that's opening up and something I'm seeing change across the nation. We're part of a convention this week, and it has been wonderful to see how people are really starting to look at, you know, mental health as the big issue, and that prevention leads to overall mental health and well-being.
Well, and VARSA's program, Guiding Good Choices, claims to teach parents about when, where, and how to draw the line on substances with their tween or teenagers. It's shocking. It was shocking to me when I looked at the poster and it said we're working with ninth grade to 12th grade. I was thinking 9-year-olds, which kind of shook me. But we're talking basically high school kids.
For Guiding Good Choices, we are speaking with parents of middle school students,
okay,
for the most part, helping them build, you know, family resilience in their children. So, you know, it is not, Sarah at Vashon Youth and Family Services, Sarah Sullivan and I are teaching this class starting this Thursday. It'll be a weekly session for 5 weeks. And, you know, we are both parents of middle schoolers. I'm also the parent of a 19-year-old. So, yeah.
And so, spectrum.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And I really wish that I'd taken Guiding Good Choices when my 19-year-old was younger.
So give us some idea of can you summarize the points that you try to make in this class of Guiding Good Choices? What are good choices? And what are not good choices? And how do you convince a person that the good ones are better for them?
Well, Guiding Good Choices starts out with helping parents look at what their wishes are for their children and their concerns around why those wishes might not come to fruition. And then we lead the parents through learning how to set up family meetings. And through these family meetings, part of it is for fun and building a strong family bond. Part of it is for setting up, you know, what your, what your expectations are and being firm in those expectations. So a lot of parents might think, my kid is involved in sports, my kid's got their clubs. And so at an early age in middle school, like, why would we even be addressing that now? Or my kid is in special education and so is around students who aren't going to be using substances. And I think we kid ourselves into believing that, you know, our child is safe. And then also looking at how they, you know, their resistance skills and just them knowing what our expectations are and helping guide them through the process of learning resistance and building their resilience.
Boy, so many questions come to mind. One of the first ones is, how do you tell a parent to identify substance use or abuse in their child whom they think is fine? What are the signs?
Do you want to take this one?
Well, I know that we try to do it when kids are younger to bring that wellness part of it, is to have an open conversation with your kids and make it a regular, normal thing to talk to your kids when they're younger about what use looks like. Now that marijuana is legal, parents may be, you know, smoking pot in front of their kids.
Sure.
Because it's legal. My parents smoked cigarettes in the car. Mm-hmm. So while it may be a normal part of your family, how do you get across to your kids that this isn't healthy for you now? It's not a healthy coping mechanism. let's talk about things when they come up. Let's help, you know, going back to the mental health aspect, how do you have a healthy family? And some communication and letting your kids talk rather than just you lecture to them.
And looking at their risk factors.
Yeah. Yeah, they could very well have some.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
What? What are the risk factors?
Well, adverse childhood experiences is, you know, out there mm-hmm. now, ACEs. And, you know, so looking at is there a family member who's been in prison or in trouble with the law? Do you have, is there substance abuse already in your family? Is there a lot of arguing and discord within the family? And having people, there are more, and they go deeper than that. You know, there are just the surface level ones and then the ones that branch off of that. So having parents be aware of the risk factors within their family without shame. So just looking at it as the facts, you know, okay, yeah, this has happened. Yeah, that has happened. And then also helping the family realize what their resilience factors are, where they have built resilience and build on that.
That is a huge, tall order. You're talking deep family therapy. This isn't just guiding kids. This is working with parents, really, to create an entirely, possibly, new family atmosphere.
Generational.
Yeah.
And so when we're working with these kids, we're working on the next generation.
How much, well, you're just starting to teach this class. Is there any history with other folks who have taught the class about feedback and how successful it is with parents and with kids?
We have anecdotal. I don't have any hard data.
Sure.
but we have anecdotal from parents that have taken the classes in the past.
And what do they say?
It's just like, you know, that was a great class. Thanks for offering it again. We got a lot out of it. I think year before last, we taught Incredible Years here on the island in cooperation with Vashon Youth and Family Services. And I think that what really comes out of that is a group of parents that can rely and support on each other.
Mm.
And if they're a group of middle schoolers, as those kids age, those parents can still, you know, call up and talk to each other. That's really a big part of it is the relational part that comes out of that.
You know, that speaks to me of the village.
Yes.
I often think in our culture, we have so isolated ourselves, even before the pandemic, in things starting with the nuclear family and cars and computers and all the things we've done step by step by step to isolate us from genuine human contact and support, to the point that you're looked down upon if you mention you have a problem, and everybody's got them. So what I'm hearing you say is that you're offering people a return to the village. How would you respond to that?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, when I talk about us working with the kids, I'm not just talking about guiding good choices. I'm talking about, like, right now we've got Peggy at the middle school working with Sources of Strength. Mm-hmm. We've got Moana at the high school. I'm working with Teens Leading Change. So it's trying to have a continuum to it, like just being able to hand the kids off to build strength. And that right there is the village. Like, we're not here to tell parents how to parent their children or what they're doing wrong. We're here to support them and, you know, have resources.
Well, I suspect, and I want to ask you, what do you hear from parents about their upbringing and their childhoods and what brought them to the style of parenting that they currently practice?
That's a hard question. Okay. As a woman in recovery myself, I do have contact with mm-hmm. other parents in recovery, and they come from a variety of backgrounds. But generally, there's some, you know, when we're talking about substance abuse, we're generally looking at some sort of trauma. They're lurking in the background. And so they might move forward into their parenting already in recovery or reach recovery as a parent. And so trying to not only switch up how they cope, but also look at what they're passing on to their children.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm answering the question
No,
here.
No, you are. That's good.
Yeah. And then, you know, just those who've been from maybe harsher backgrounds or maybe were bullied. You know, it's whatever they've had to bring about in themselves to cope and deal, they might think is a thing to pass on to their children.
Because it's all they've got.
That's right.
And you're offering them options.
Yes.
I'm not sure we got to it, but I asked you, what are the signs? What should parents look for? And I think I probably interrupted your answer. What are the signs?
Well, we look at isolation. If your kid is isolating more, who their friends are. The community survey that we just finished in December, we do that every year. And one of the questions had to do with, do you talk when your kid comes home from an outing with their friends? Do you stay up until they come home? Do you ask them who they were with? You know, all those protective factors. Are you staying engaged, to go back to that? It's noticing those things, noticing when your child is not as interested in the things that they were interested in before. That's a big one. If friends come and the friends notice, we've had friends of youth in crisis come to the professional, the adult in the room, and say, hey, my friend, I'm worried about them. They've checked out. They don't interact with us. They don't hang with us. They, you know, we're worried about them. And subsequently, we're able to bring some help and support to the child in particular that I'm thinking of. But there's also more, more examples of that where when you know, it's like, it goes back to the see something, say something, which is a universal, you know, thing to live by. But when you see your kid checking out, talk to him. If you can't talk to them or you don't have the skills to deal with what their answer may be, find someone who does. VYFS is a great support. They have wonderful counselors there. And your primary care doctor can shoot you to somebody else that can talk to you. Most of them are Zoom now, which is not a bad way to go. You could, because you can get help by a professional off island without the 5-hour round trip or longer.
Two questions come to mind those are great resources. Not everyone has access to those resources. They don't. Not everyone has insurance. Not everyone speaks English. How do you help those folks?
Well, that's also working with the students at school. There's the ones that fall through the crack. If they're just not at school anymore, the mental health professionals, the substance use, substance assistant, student assistant professional, who is Moana Trammell at the high school and junior high, they have a hard time interacting with the kids if they can't find them. And they have a hard time interacting with the adults if they don't speak the language. So that's something that we always need to improve on. Susan Sullivan, who is at VYFS and will be helping teach the Guiding Good Choices class, is also fluent in Spanish.
Oh, great.
She is not Latino, but she is fluent. So
do you have people enrolled already in this class, which is starting next week?
We do. And we have room for plenty more.
And it's free.
Oh, that's good. It's free. It's free,
yes.
Folks. It is Guiding
Good Choices.
Guiding Good Choices. Tell folks exactly how to find out about it, how to get their families enrolled. Do both parents have to attend? What's the deal?
It would be great if both parents could attend, or both parenting units. You know, whoever is out to help their middle school aged children. So we've got parents of fifth graders through eighth graders so far signed up. You can reach out. It's info
at varsanetwork.org.
info@varsanetwork.org. Folks, we'll put that on our Voice of Vashon website as well.
Great.
Or you can call 206-567-2647.
264 what?
7.
And enroll.
And enroll.
Yes.
Do you have to have access to a camera and a computer in order to do this by Zoom? How does one do that?
It will be via Zoom. Mm-hmm. Call-in would be harder. There are slides, exercises we'll be doing. It would be best if you have access to a computer.
So perhaps you can help people who need a little assistance in accessing Zoom?
Absolutely. Yes, I've already told the parents that if they're not familiar with the platform, if they need help, please reach out to me. As the enrollment comes in, I send a letter that gives a Zoom link and then also offers tech help if needed.
Susan McMahon and Lisa Bruce of Varsa, we have only 3 minutes left. It always shocks me how quickly these things happen. What are the most important things each of you wanted to get across today to our listeners? What do you want parents and kids to know about substance abuse, its prevention?
I think really look at mental health and building resilience. And part of that, I mean, we're looking at right now with Teens Leading Change, you know, even life skills, you know, having something to look forward to and building kids up to get there and just being in contact, reaching out, because right now it's very hard for me to get kids on a Zoom meeting on a weekend, but I can pick up the phone and call each kid and check in with them and see how they're doing. Just check in. And if you notice something, don't be afraid to mention that you're seeing something and ask them how they're really doing.
How much does that fly in the face of cultural norms? In other words, is that snitching? Or do I stick my nose in somebody else's business? How do you get people to overcome, to jump over that shadow, if you will?
I think that, especially with the pandemic, that asking someone, how are you doing? Are you okay? And waiting for an honest answer is really important to be able to, you know, honestly be there for other people. I did also want to say that most kids don't use and most adults don't allow their kids to use in the home. So
perception is
huge. Perception is big. And for kids, the perception is huge. They think that they're missing out. It's that fear of missing out. Mm-hmm. So most kids don't use substances.
That's good news.
It's really good
thing.
News.
And we have to keep telling the kids that you're the healthiest survey that you do yourself, you answer it, and most of you really don't. We see it on TV. We see it everywhere else.
But, we sure do.
And even as adults, and even during the pandemic and everything else where it's like, this is how you go to cope. It's like, no, most of us don't. Most of us take a walk.
Do you think the pandemic has, I'm looking for a silver lining here, has made us a little more willing to be vulnerable to one another because we've been so isolated from one another? I think, at least I know a lot of folks who feel like they've really learned to appreciate that human connection. Have you seen in your mental health work any change in that direction? Do you sense any greater willingness to share true feelings?
I'd say so. And, you know, in a chat this morning on this conference we're on, I saw a woman say, you know, we just need to now realize that with the pandemic, we've all experienced a little bit of trauma. And so we should all be willing, you know, to look at the mental health ramifications of that and know that we, even though we're all experiencing it differently, we're all experiencing it. And open up.
Thank you. That's a great way to close, folks. Open up to one another. And do it for real. I'm Susan McCabe. You've been listening to Real Talk here on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. We've been talking with Susan McMahon and Lisa Bruce from Varsa about kids and substance abuse and how to prevent it. And hey, guys, it's not really happening that much. Thanks for listening.